Hi, I'm Dominic Encinas, leader of The Heart. I want to welcome you to The Heart Podcast. Thank you for letting us be a small part in your journey of faith. I hope this message today encourages you and strengthens you. Big things can happen when we expect God to move, so I pray today that God would speak to you through this message.
We are in part two of our message series that we just started called Perspective. And this kind of topic is very, very fun for me. I'm a little bit of a challenger when it comes to topics in general. Some might say a contrarian, where I'll take the opposite side just to be, I can think it's called the devil's advocate. So like, you know, you have an idea, even if I agree with you, I say, well, what if it's the other way? And sometimes it really ruffles feathers, and I don't mean to, sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't mean to. And so it's been fun kind of going over this idea, this whole idea of perspective. And we talked a little bit about it last week, how perspective can change, perspective changes your situation. Even if nothing changes, right? Even if nothing changes about your situation, about your relationship, about your marriage, about your job, about your kids, even if nothing changes, if you approach it differently, look at it differently, give yourself a chance for a different perspective, then everything can change. And what I want to talk about today is a couple different perspectives that we can have of a story that you might have heard of that might be familiar to you, the prodigal son. Prodigal son is a story that is lifted out of the book of Luke. And actually, we don't always do this, but I'm going to read that whole entire story, and then we'll kind of dig into it a little bit, okay? So this is the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son, depending on the translation that you're reading. And the parables are so interesting to me because so many times Jesus, he would rarely, if ever, say something directly. Right, he would use these parables to say, well, the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this, and then he would tell a story. And that's so interesting to me because a story, depending on your perspective, can mean different things to different people. And a story, the same story, can mean something different to you later in life, even though you've already known the story. If you think about maybe like your favorite book or your favorite movie, maybe you watched it, you watched it for the first time 10 years ago, and then you watch that movie again today. You missed a couple of jokes or a couple of different threads. Or, you know, now that you're in a relationship, or maybe now that you have kids or whatever it is, your perspective changes on stories you already know. So I want to read this story. This should take about 45 minutes top, so settle in. Okay, the parable of the lost son. Here we go. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in wild living. Sounds fun. That's not in here. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost and now he is found. So the party began. Now it gets juicy. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields. He was out there working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother's back, they said, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. So the father came out and begged him. But he replied, all of these years, I have slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all the time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. And his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed with me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate with this happy day, for your brother was dead and he has come back to life. He was lost and now he is found. So that story might be familiar to you. But what I want to do today is look at that story from the perspective of the older brother. Because I think when it comes to this story, at least for me, okay, when it comes to this story, what I have heard traditionally, historically, from other people that have told this story or have talked about this or whatever, the focus seems to be on the young son that left, right? The focus seems to be on this lost son that left and came back. And you might argue, well, this name of the story is the lost son. Well, I don't know if Jesus was naming his parables. That's what we gave it later, you know? That'd be funny. Jesus, like, and now the parable of the lost son. So what about this younger brother that we've all been talking about for years? It seems to be the main character here, right? But I want to say for today, for right now, and I'm not saying I'm right, I'm saying this a perspective, is let's make the older brother the main character in this story. If the older brother is the main character in this story, let's look at it from his perspective. Because it's easy, maybe it's just for me, okay? It's easier for me to relate to the younger brother, okay? I have a younger brother. He's 2 years younger, 2.5 years younger. And so when we, you know, I graduated high school, and then a couple years later, he graduated high school. And out of high school, he was going to go to school in New York. Could you imagine? So, you know, we got all his stuff together, and he was going to go to this school called St. John's. And I was like, New York, wow, that's 1,000,000 miles away. And so he had this big, what's it called? Not luggage. Can somebody help me out? Trunk. Maybe I should prepare for these. What do you think? He had this big trunk, and, you know, it was like, you know, his clothes, but like also like pots and pans because the dorm he was going to be in. It was just this surreal thing. I was like, this only happens in the movies. You know, I was so young. Still am. So he goes to New York, and when he would come back to visit, everybody was so excited to hear what Eric did in New York City. And I was like, he's not even New York City, he's in Jersey. No offense to anybody from New Jersey. And I was like, I'm here. I've stayed in Texas. I stayed around. Why is everybody so excited for my brother? And it wasn't necessarily that. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I wasn't bitter towards him, but sometimes it would sting me a little bit. Like, I've been here. So it must be nice to just be the one that gets to go away and come back, and you get a party every time you come back in town. I'd like a party. I'd like to be celebrated by my friends and family. I thought about that this week because I was trying to think of life through the perspective of the older brother. Because I think if I think back of what brought me to Christianity in the first place, like I was raised going to Catholic church, but I wasn't necessarily a spiritual person. It was just like you go to church, you know, you groggily wake up on a Sunday and barely make it to noon mass. Anybody with me, you know? And you kind of put in your time. You're like, well, I did it. I was there. So everything should be ship shape. So what brought me to Christianity, or at least the kind of Christian I became in my early 20s, was this idea of the lost son. Someone who just went out and did whatever they wanted, and now they feel bad that they've done whatever they wanted, and they want to be on God's side again, want God on their side again, so they ask for forgiveness, beg for forgiveness. So that's when I connected to the younger son. I felt like I've been doing whatever I want. Some of it you know, some were mistakes, some were not so much mistakes, you know. Sometimes we make a decision knowing that it's not wise for us. You know what I'm talking about? And so we do these things and we say, okay, I this idea of being forgiven, right? Being forgiven by the Father. And also, this parable is so thinly veiled. Obviously, the Father is God, is meant to represent God. And so we come to God and we say, we're so, so sorry for everything we've done, everything we've done, everything we've said. I'm so sorry that I've been gone. I'm so sorry that I squandered everything you gave me. I'm so sorry that everything you entrusted me with, I just threw away. And so at least my personality, I really connected with that because I felt like I had made a bunch of mistakes. And somebody presented like, well, if you feel like you've made a lot of mistakes, this deity, God, this Christian God is forgiving and wants to love you. And I said, I am down with that. And so that was my first kind of real experience with Christianity. And I dug in deep, obviously. Look where we are. That I want other people to know how this feels. But see, what's interesting is where this story ends, but our relationship with our faith doesn't. Right? So maybe when I first started coming to church, and I it was like, man, this is amazing, and I want to tell people about this. And then, I got baptized, and I was riding this super high of all of these things that I could see God do in my life. And then things, just life happens. Your faith gets challenged. So it's not always fat and calves and robes and rings. So what happens the next time you feel like you need to apologize? Right? And I don't know if you heard in the story, if you notice in the story, that the Father never even addresses the apology. I'll run back at it. Watch this. He returned home to his father. Father, I have sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring out the finest robe. Bring him new sandals. Kill the fattened calf. Now, I'm not saying we need to dive into every little detail and every little syllable, but it's interesting to me that there was no addressing the apology, almost like there was no need, almost as if the need to apologize was not there. And it made me think of my son, my parents, right? I'm fortunate enough to still have both of my parents. And I have a great relationship with my son. And I started thinking about, If he had done this, right? If my son said, Dad, I want half of my inheritance, it wouldn't be much. I'm like, I got $20 on me. Well, that, you know. I want half my inheritance before you die, and I'm going to go off and do whatever I want. Would I be hurt? Probably. But I started thinking for myself, it's been a year, 6 months, however long, and he starts to come back. I see him coming back. How excited would I be? I'm processing this week as I'm thinking about this story. How excited would I be that I see him coming back? Like, oh my God, he's coming back. I hope it's for good. I hope he's coming. Is it to visit? I'd run out and meet him. And I wonder if he would have to, if he came and said, I'm so sorry, how I would react. And I think what we do, here's why I'm saying that, is because I think what we do in general, not every day and not all of us, but in general, I think sometimes what we can do is feel the need, maybe that first I'm sorry, or that first, you know, it doesn't have to be something big. Let's say that you made a New Year's resolution to read the YouVersion Bible every day, and after 3 days you're like, this is a lot. Or maybe you said you were going to pray every day, or you weren't going to miss Connect Group, or whatever thing you wanted to do to grow your health, and it just got away from you. Life just got busy. And sometimes what we tend to do is if we made a commitment or said we were going to make a commitment that has anything to do with church or the church world or God or whatever, when we feel like we have broken that, even unintentionally, you know what we start to do is we start to stay even further back, right? If we've missed church enough times, we start to think, oh, well, I've already missed 4 weeks. I don't want to show up and be the person that missed 4 weeks and barely came back, or whatever it happens to be. And so we assign all these things to how we might feel, how other people might perceive us. And it keeps us away from what we really want, which is to grow our faith. So we make these decisions because of this perspective we have, or the perspective we think others might have of us. And so what I see here is an extension of grace. What I see here, and the Father in this story, is an extension of grace. It's an extension of grace to the Son that left and blew everything, and it's extension of grace to the Son that stayed and is angry, that is hurt, that feels maybe overlooked, unappreciated. And it doesn't say this here, but I can imagine at least the implied message of the Father. In fact, we'll have that up here. Luke 15, 31 and 32, specifically, his Father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." We had to celebrate this day because your brother was dead and now he's alive, right? He was lost and now he is found. So if I'm thinking logically, when my brother comes back from New York and, you know, we were in college 20 years ago, well, obviously that's exciting because we haven't seen him in a while. So maybe if I just got past myself for a little bit, I could see, yeah, this is exciting, I guess. And then I start to think, like I said, it doesn't say it here, but I wonder if the dad was like, I didn't know you wanted a party with a fattened calf. You should have said that. Did you want to celebrate with your friends? I didn't know that. You should have said something. You could have said, we could have planned something. Let's plan something. Now, it doesn't say that here, and I'm making that up. But that's what I see as an extension of grace. Everything that I have has already been yours. Everything I have is already yours. What makes today special is we're celebrating a coming back to life. We're not celebrating this son over this son, right? It's like, I want the oldest son, if I'm the dad, I want the oldest son to be part of the celebration. Isn't it incredible that your brother is back? And here's what I think. And I wrote this down. Our view of the grace that people receive, our view of the grace that others receive, may reveal which brother we relate to more. Our perception of the grace someone else receives. Are we happy when someone receives grace? Are we excited for them? Are we celebrating with them? Are we there at the party with the fattened calf, clinking glasses, and saying, I'm so glad you're back. What an amazing gift your Father gave you by forgiving everything and welcoming you with open arms. What a gift. Or are we the older brother sulking outside, refusing to go in because that's not fair? What two wildly different perceptions of that same party. That same party meant two opposite things for different characters in that story. I bet the two brothers could agree on the fact that the younger brother did not deserve that party. That's where they'd be on the same page. I don't feel like I deserve this. And the older brother's like, you don't. But I wonder in our faith, how often have we been the younger brother that is hungry for that grace, hungry for that peace, hungry for that hope? And how often have we been the older brother that is bitter for how lucky other people seem to be, that is bitter for how many prayers seem to be answered for everyone around us except ours? And why? And the reason I say that is because what can change that is our perspective on the grace that is offered. Because if we think, in fact, I wrote this down too. Let's put it up on the screen. Redemption is not reserved for the worst of us. It's for all of us. Redemption is not reserved. It's not like the younger son came back home and the father said, now we can finally redeem this one son because he came back and said he was sorry. That's not, redemption is not for the select. Redemption is not for you. Wait till you hit rock bottom, then God will love you, right? Wait till your life is the worst it's ever been. If you've gone through everything terrible, then you can find the grace of God. And I want to say that maybe if we shift our perspective, we can see that the grace of God is available to us every single day, all of the time. Just like the Father said here, everything I have is yours. You don't need to wait until you're lost to be found. You don't need to wait until you're dead to find life. I wrote this down too for y'all. We don't need to be sorry for what we've done. We need to see what God has done. Can you imagine? I present this scenario to you, okay? Let's say I have wronged you in some way, which I probably have for a lot of people in this room. Let's say I wronged you, okay? And it was really wrong. I hurt your feelings. I impacted your reputation. Whatever it is, it was something that you really felt hurt by that. And the next week, I realize what I have done, and I come to you and I say, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I've done that. I own the, you know, I take responsibility for what I said. I do the work to clean up the emotional damage I've caused, and you say that you forgive me. And then the next week, I come to you and I say, I am so, so sorry for that thing I did 2 weeks ago. I'll do anything it takes. I'm so, so sorry that that's happened. And then the next week I come to you and I say the same thing. And the next week I come to you and say, at what time would you say, okay? How many sorries would it take for you to say, you don't need to apologize anymore? And sometimes I feel like that's kind of what we do with our relationship with God, is we feel like we have to always come up and say sorry, always apologize, always feel like we're in the wrong. And what I want us to see, even just for a little bit today, is this perspective of the grace is already there. You don't need to go beg God for grace. It's being given. You don't need to go beg God for hope. You don't need to jump through the hoops to be able to be in a relationship with God. He's already extended his hand. He's already done the work. The work that God has done to create a relationship with you was already done 2,000 years ago. There's nothing else to be done. So we don't need to focus on the sorries that we have. In my opinion, we need to focus on what God has already done, what God is doing. Wouldn't that be incredible if we could shift our perspective, even for today, even for this week, to say whether you relate to the younger brother or you relate to the older brother. Either way, you're going to listen to the words of the Father that says, everything I have is already yours. Everything I have is already yours. I know I've mentioned this before, so some of you might remember this, but my parents, they are great, great hosts, okay? They have a garage fridge, and I don't know if that's just a Texas thing, but there's the garage fridge, and that thing is stacked to the gills. And it's always so funny to hear somebody, you know, if they visit for the first time or whatever, say something to the effect of like, or my parents will ask, you want something to drink? And they have every, you know, zero sugar soda in the fridge. The bangers, you know, only the top. Cherry Coke Zero, obviously. Sunkist Zero Sugar. I'm not sponsored by any of these. I'm just telling you what you should be drinking. And it makes me think, this idea of the father in this story saying, everything I have is already yours. It'd be like me going to my parents' house and saying, I wish I had money. I wish I had money to buy groceries, but I don't. So I'm just going to sit here and starve at my parents' house. I wish I had money to buy the sodas that I like. Just hang with me on the analogy, okay? But I don't. Can you imagine how perplexed my parents would be to say, what do you mean? Don't you like Cherry Coke Zero? We bought it because you like it. It's in the fridge. Like, no. I need to apologize enough first. I need to feel more badly about who I am to be able to enjoy what is already here being offered to me. So maybe instead of waiting till what we have decided is the appropriate amount of forgiveness, right? Many times we decide how sorry we need to be, how much we need to be punished, how much we need to be rejected, how much we need to be avoided. So we decide our own punishment. It's like when I was a kid, sometimes my parents, they would ground me, and then sometimes they say, well, how long do you think you should be grounded? And every single, this might be a Dom thing, so don't put this on you, okay? This is my trauma. Every single time they would ask me how long I wanted to be grounded for, I would always pick this absurd amount of time. I was like, probably 3 or 4 weeks. They're like, take it easy. Probably just this weekend. I would always give myself, I needed to be punished for longer. Again, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but what I'm saying that sometimes that can be how we approach our faith. And I'm saying let yourself have the perspective that the Father is trying to say in this story that everything God has, everything God provides is available to you now, not when you do this, not if you do that. It is available to you now. The grace, the hope, the forgiveness, the peace. Those are already available to you. It's already an offer. It's already in the fridge. It's already in a fridge that in a house that you have the code to get into, that you're invited to. That's the perspective I hope that you can carry, even if it's for today, to let yourself experience God's grace without jumping through the hoops of what you think you need to do or are supposed to do or should be sorry for or be sorrier for. What if we said, I'm just going to accept God's grace in this moment, whether I'm on the extreme of the younger brother, the extreme of the older brother, or anywhere in between, I'm going to choose to receive God's grace. If you could, bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I want to pray with you today. God, we are grateful. We're grateful for this story that it reminds us that even if we have been far off, even if we have been avoiding you, or even if we have been diligent in being in our relationship with you, that either way, your love for us does not waver. Either way, you are there for us. God, we thank you that you are there for us in the celebrations. You're there for us when we are hurt and angry, and that you offer your peace, your love, your hope, no matter what, no matter what. We're grateful. We love you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Podcast. At the Heart, we like to say you don't have to go to church here to go to church here. That means you are already part of the community just by listening to the message today. If today's message connected with you, we want to invite you to share it with someone who may benefit from it. We would love to be a part of your journey of faith. Please visit us online at www.theheart.church/next to see what your next step may be. And if you live near San Marcos, Texas, we would like to invite you to visit us in person this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Remember to be bold this week and connect with those around you. It's how your relationships grow and how your faith grows.